Shalom Rav Lech Rabosai, hope all's well. Just wanted to first, before diving into the kishkas of the Hashkafa Shir for tonight, I just wanted to express tremendous hakaras hatov to everybody who came out to the Gemara Chazara program over Bein Hazmanim. What it is that you guys did, I don't even know if you really appreciate in totality. And whether you were doing it for the raffle or just to learn, it's an amazing, phenomenal thing. Our troops, as everybody knows, are still in harm's way. There are hostages that still have not been accounted for. And for, you know, the IDF, there is no such thing as Bein Hazmanim. And for everybody to be fighting, so to speak, on the spiritual front lines in the Beis Medrash every night, chazering, it's a phenomenal, beautiful thing. And on top of that, for everybody who came out to the Shir, all of them, for Hashkafa so far during this season, it's a really big hat tip to you that you did so. You should pat yourself on the back, be appreciative of it, and know just how awesome you are. Okay, and so part two tonight of preparing for Elul, seeing the extent of our actions. Last week we spoke about the Mishnah in Bava Kamma 31a, and we also addressed the end of the Mishnah in Makot 21b, if everybody remembers. Seeing the extent of our actions involved deeply appreciating not only this one thing that we might say or this one thing that we might do, but the actual ripple effects that are sent in Shemayim. And we also mentioned that sometimes it's easy for us to think about, oh, well, I didn't have Kavanah during davening, let me do tshuva for that. But at times, those are just the bones that the Yetzer Hara are going to throw us to basically say, oh, this is the thing I did tshuva on. Great, check the box, moving on. You know, dip the apple in the honey, good to go. No, there's a lot of other things that are hidden to us that we're not even really aware of in terms of what it is that we sinned in, what of errors we committed. And so it could very well be that we don't understand that we are the potter, you know, that fell down and caused somebody to stumble in us. And so we want to make sure that when we are involved in Torah, when we're involved in Avodah, and even just doing everything else in life, we want to make sure that we are going out of our way to see the extent of what it is that we're doing and to see how it affects other people. Because one sin that we do might end up being a lot more than we anticipate. So that was the basic gist of last week's Shir, and I think just a very, very short nutshell. And so tonight, what I want to focus on predominantly is going to be the Gemara that I promised we would address. So that Gemara is Chaf Tet Amud Bet in Menachot, and it directly deals with falling out of the hay. And so if you're following along in the source sheet, look at the wide lines on the page and go down, I believe it's almost 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, to Umipne Ma Nivra Ha'olam Hazeh Behei. And if you're over there, then you'll be really ready to go. And if not, just hear it outside. So here goes. Umipne ma nivra ha'olam hazebahei. And why was this world created with a hey? How does this world resemble the letter hey? Mipne shedoma la'aksadra shakol harotze litzit yedse. Again. Mipne shedoma la'aksadra shakol harotze litzit yedse. Because this hey resembles a portico. This world also resembles a portico. It's open at the bottom, right? And anyone who wants to leave it can leave it. We're going to go in depth a little bit of what that means, but just in brief, what it means to leave it is to leave the world of upright living, to leave a world of following what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, and therefore we are falling out of his world and perhaps entering something altogether different. That obviously doesn't mean falling off of planet Earth, because we're not talking about merely the physical infrastructure, one can say, the physical parts of what things are. We're talking about Hashem's world and the world of upright living. And that is what we're also meaning by Olam Hazeh, this world that we're in. It's not just planet Earth. It's not just the physical world here. It's Olam Hazeh as we experience it emotionally, as we experience it physically, as we experience it spiritually as well. And so when you fall out by sinning in Olam Hazeh, it's like falling out of the letter Hey. And now that we've fallen, what can we do? What do we do? And so that's why it's going to now ask, the Mara's going to now smartly ask, Umay Taima Talya Kare. And what's the reason why there is a small leg, if you will, right? What's the reason that the left leg of the Hey is suspended, right? We're going to say it's Why is this left leg talia? Why is it suspended? And what do we mean by the left leg? Well, imagine the letter hey. You have what looks like a dalid and then a yud. And you have, if you're going to look at the left portion of that hey, you're going to see that the line coming down vertically has a gap right at the top. So you have a big opening of the hey that you fell out of on the bottom. And up at the top, there's a little gap there. So the Gemara is asking, what's the reason that that's there? What's the reason that the left leg of the hay is suspended, leaving a gap? Why is it doing that? And Gemara answers, Di hadar b'tshuva me'ele lei. Again, Di hadar b'tshuva me'ele lei. Because anyone who wants to do tshuva, he can go up and arise and go through there to get back in. Meaning, if he does tshuva, they can bring it back in to the world of upright living. By going through that opening, you can re-enter the hay. And so the Gemara has a phenomenal question, which, you know, we all might be having right now. But it answers very cryptically that very question. So let's just explore. Let's look at the question, then we'll look at the answer. Right? Ready? So we just said, right now, we said, De'i ha'debetshuva me'elele. So now, Ula ayel bahach. Why not just go back in from whence you came? Why can't I arise? Why can't I go back in through the opening on the bottom? So Gemara says, meaning the question is, why do I have to go all the way up to the hay where there's a small little opening? Why can't I just go right back where I fell out of? Why I fell right here. Why can't I just go right back up there? I fell right back down there. Why can't I just go back up there? Right? So the answer is, lo mistaya milta. Lo mistaya milta. It just doesn't work. No, this won't work. This is not a matter that will be able to occur or happen. Why? How could it be that you don't have the ability to just re-enter? And the Gemara is silent. And that's all we need to see tonight on this page of Gemara. Once you see this Gemara and you open it up, you'll realize the whole journey of Elul. And you'll understand the journey of what it takes during Elul to get to where we need to be for Rosh Hashanah, where we want to get to for Yom Kippur, and the whole entire Zman of Tshuva. But not just then, but every time. Because throughout the year, obviously, we fall out of the hay, you know, in varying different ways. And this is the recipe, this is the Hashkafic lens to look at how to get back in. So, Rav Mendel Bernstein, my Rebbe, he said, based on many Mefarshim, that the reason that you can't go back in the bottom of the hay is because you haven't changed. You are the same you. There's nothing different. There's no tshuva aspect. What you have to do is rise up and climb back up, claw your way back up, which is why you need to go to the small gap. It's a smaller gap because it's not as accessible. It's not a wide, big, easy gap to go back into. Doing tshuva is hard. Getting back up again is hard. But when you climb, 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 and rise, that's when you'll be able to get back in the hay of upright living. And so you need to be loftier and higher and better than you were when you fell. Again, you have to be higher and loftier and better than where you were when you fell to get back into the world of upright living. Hence why you're only able to go back into the hay when you're up, up, up on that left side by the little gap. Amazing. This Gemara becomes the way for us to approach what we need to do in Elul. What we need to do even just as preparation for Elul. What we even need to be aware of in terms of what we're supposed to be doing during Elul. So now, we could think of all the examples in the world, right? You fell in an area of kashas, maybe. You fell in the area of davening, maybe. You fell in the area of how to relate to your parents as a baal tshuva, maybe. You fell in who knows what. Whatever your unique circumstances are, fill in the blank. You're out of the world of the hay, at least in that concept. And hopefully not totally out of the world of upright living, but you've fallen, right? So what do we have to do? It's not just get back up and, okay, here I go again, back into the world. Like, I stumbled, I'm back up. No. In order to properly do this, the chiddush of this Gemara is that you have to change. You have to improve. You have to be better than you started. Because the you that was you when you fell out can't be the you that is you when you're back in. You have to make sure that you grow. So now what do you do? How do I climb? Well, maybe you work on yourself. How do you work on yourself? It depends on what you're trying to accomplish, what you're trying to achieve. It's very possible that what you're ultimately going to need to do is get advice from a Rav, or maybe it's just setting SMART goals, you know, something that's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound to get you where you need to be, which is part of what you're going to be doing when you make Kabbalahs come Rosh Hashanah time, right? But this is like maybe a mini piece and little goals to get you into the ultimate direction of getting back into the hay. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be big. So think on it. And again, all these shurim are to show you the depth and the breadth and the beauty of a Gemara, as well as the hashkafic lens through which you can learn one. But it's also to get you to think and to do a cheshbon nefesh. There's nothing better that you can do right now in Elul than to do a cheshbon nefesh. There's something incredibly challenging when you sit down to try to do one, though, which is to only think of all of the negative things that are, you know, floating around your head instead of looking at all the good. You also need to do a cheshbon nefesh on the good. Take a look. Take stock of everything you've done. Are there positives? Of course there are. Well, think about them. What did you succeed in? And then get excited to see where you didn't fall out of the hay. And then when you're strong enough and ready, start thinking about the aspects and the parts where you did fall out. And then assess, what can I do to get back in? I'm here. I'm real with myself that I'm here now. I want to be there where either I was or where I want to get to be again. Or if I wasn't ever there before, I want to be there in the future. And then chart a course, small, slow, gradual steps. You know, many of us, when we were growing spiritually, especially those in this group who are not, you know, FFBs, the Baalei Tshuva among us, right, myself included, we all started by perhaps saying, I'm going to eat, you know, kosher food, but we all took gradual steps. One of the biggest things is when you still eat that treif pizza, but it doesn't have that pepperoni on it, right, guys? And so it's partly thinking that those are achievements too. You know, so think about small things that are like stepping stones to get you back into the hay. And even just that graphic, that visual, that understanding of what it is to arise and to ascend will help you realize that with every passing moment, you have to get better to get back in the hay. Otherwise, what you're doing is not actually improving yourself. And that's where I want to close. Appreciating and understanding that small, gradual steps are not just, you know, a silly key phrase or catchphrase that's used when you're doing tshuva as a Baal tshuva in the beginning of your journey. It's literally the textbook plan and platform and program for success in all areas of life. I mean, think about it. There are programs in our learning designed literally for small, gradual achievement. You have Mishnah Yomi, Daf Yomi, Amud Yomi, all these different projects. And if you actually look back on your achievements during them, if you stuck to them and are able to keep going weiter with them, you'll see, holy moly, I did only 2 Mishnayot every day, and look how much I've achieved. And you'll see it. Open up your Mishnah from when you started, you know, the first time. Or if you're doing Daf Yomi, or whatever it might be, you know, Kinyan, Hamasekta. Any learning program starts like this, with this design plan in mind, you know, or any of these halakha programs for Mishnah Berurah, things like that, you're like, oh my goodness, look how much I achieved. That needs to be your outlook and approach with Elul. You know, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman once said that the way in which he does Kabbalahs is almost like stacking. That's my lashon, not his. It's like stacking. The Kabbalahs that he was successful in by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur last year, he adds them to what he's doing this year. And that was his recipe for success. And I'm sure he learned that from other Gedolim. And you might think to yourself, I never was successful with any of my Kabbalahs. Well, then you just keep going until you are. You will be. Make them smaller. Make them more achievable. And you'll be able to do it. And then the one that you had from last year, you'll add to another one. And that is how you get back in the hay. And so when your mindset now is on, what are my Kabbalahs going to be come Rosh Hashanah time? You know, instead of, or Yom Kippur time, whatever your Kabbalahs are going to be, whenever you want to make them. If you start thinking now, as we're about to enter Elul, right? It's going to be Shabbos Mevarchim for Elul. And a lot of people are going to be thinking, oh gosh, it's Elul and getting scared. No, if you're prepared, you know what you're going to, you know what you got to face. You could do it. Sure, there's going to be pachad, but now has to be a time to appreciate and resonate with what you can do. So with small, gradual steps, you can do it. And the key is to get back in this hay, to really be prepared for Elul, you need to see that your small, gradual steps can then be even smaller and even more gradual steps. You don't learn a Masechta overnight. You attack the perek. And you don't learn a perek overnight. You attack the daf. And you don't learn a daf overnight. Some people do. But no, you don't usually learn a daf overnight. You approach the sugya. And the way that we approach our learning like that has to be the way we approach our growth. That's exactly the whole reason why Torah learning is the way it is. And so we need to approach our growth the way we approach our learning. So boys, men, make gradual steps to change, to be better, and to improve yourself. And that's how you can succeed. And the mission of Elul is to see the extent of my actions. How far out of the hay did I fall? If you can't even do a cheshbon nefesh on how far out of the hay you fell, how in the world can you climb back into it? That was last week's class, right? Getting an appreciation for how far my actions extend. And so now, with this week's class, hopefully we can understand what's involved. Rabosai, Elul is a huge gift that Hashem gives us. He gives us an entire month to focus on getting back inside that hay. And we can begin our ascent by understanding the consequences of our actions and just how deleterious one aveira could be. And we can't get down on ourselves, right? We have to see the positive also. But during Elul, it's a really fortuitous time to start doing that calculation for how can I improve? Where are my blind spots? Maybe I should talk to some friends who I really trust about, hey, how am I really being perceived in the world? Are my jokes really hitting the mark? Or are they just awkward and strange? Am I a person who is able to enter a room where people aren't turning around like, oh gosh, who's this person? You need to get clarity on who you are and how you can work on yourself in certain aspects of things like that. Or maybe it's your relationship with Hashem. And maybe your level of sincerity and devotion. Or maybe it's fill in the blank. Whatever it is that you know about yourself, and whatever it is that your closest peers, friends, companions can tell you about yourself, will all inform your where you need to grow. So Rabosai, here we are. We're on the cusp of entering Elul. You know, like I said, it's going to be Shabbos Mevarchim for Elul. And is it just going to be another one that passes us by? Or are we going to really seize the moment? And so this year is the year, Rabosai. This year's the year. Make this Elul count. Because frankly, Rabosai, you count. You're part of an amazing group of individuals who are such a minority of a minority already in a minority. Hashem tapped all of us on the shoulder to make a difference in this world. Not all of us, you know, grew up like this. In fact, the majority of us on this recording and this sheer listening to this didn't grow up this way. And we were charged with a mission to make a difference because we count. Chart that course for your next year now. Do it before it gets very overwhelming. The Zman's going to start up again, and you're going to be told what Gemara you're going to be learning. Tell yourself what sugya of your personalistic growth you're going to be in. You figure out what sugya you're going to be learning, so to speak, in the world of your own growth. Chart your course. Get back in the hay. Take those proactive steps. I know you can do it. Thank you guys for listening.